So I got to do something first here before we get into the scriptures. I haven't done this yet today. I got to do my exercises. And for you folks that are on the party line, can't see what I'm doing, I've got a, is this a barbell or a dumbbell?
Dumbbell.
A dumbbell.
And
a smart bell. I don't know if I'm too smart using it or not, but so I'm doing some exercises. Oh, one, two, here, one, two. Ah, there we go. So my muscles appreciate that a little bit, right? I build them up a little, somewhat. So we're going to talk about exercising. And, of course, we could get into physical exercising. Tom knows this field real good. But you know what? We're going to get into spiritual exercising. And I know Tom knows that one as well. So, yeah, what do we want to do with our spiritual life? We have all the great realities that we are learning about with this gift of Holy Spirit. So how do we exercise ourselves spiritually? And so to do that, obviously we can go to the Word and find out what it says in light of our physical exercise, but our spiritual exercise. So how do we do this? And there's two aspects I'm going to share with you on your spiritual exercising, okay? So, but first I want to share a verse out of Timothy. So if you go to 1 Timothy, we'll take a look in chapter 4, all right? So 1 Timothy chapter 4, and verse 7, 1 Timothy 4, 7. It says here, but refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather under what?
Godliness.
Godliness. So we don't want to be led around with all the comments and snide remarks and all these things that people are saying, but we want to exercise ourselves under godliness. A true godly relationship is what godliness really is. Verse 8 says, for bodily exercise profiteth little. So you can get a little benefit by doing physical exercise, bodily exercise, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, the life we're living now, and that of that which is to come. So we know Christ is coming back at any moment, right, to gather us together, and what a time that will be. And so the more we exercise our godliness, we can really benefit and enjoy the future, but also in the times now, right? The promise of our life that now is. So I trust when we get into some of these things, this will be a benefit to you and that you'll set up an exercise regime that you'll exercise yourself unto godliness. Now, as I said earlier, there's two aspects I see in our spiritual life that we need to exercise. And the first one is the manifestations of the Spirit. The Spirit we have, gift of Holy Spirit, Christ in you, we have nine manifestations, evidences of that Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. So let's take a look at that. And if these are the parts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, let's go to 1 Corinthians 12, then we want to use it. Yeah, I think the Segovia's got a new car recently, and so they've got all these different features in there. And they're learning, they're probably learning things that they didn't know right off the bat, but now that they know the different features and parts that they can use on the car, they're exercising, they're using it because it's there. There's a benefit to it.
I haven't found the chocolate button yet.
You haven't found the chocolate button yet. All right. I don't know if that's been invented for cars yet. All right, chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. And let's look what the manifestations are. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So every person who's born again gets this Spirit. They have these manifestations, and they're for what? They're for profit. They're for benefit. And in the King James, it's kind of unique how the King James says it. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge. And what that refers to, the one that is given to us, for the benefit or for the profit. For one profit is the word of wisdom. To another benefit or profit is the word of knowledge. All of these are to benefit, to profit. And if you looked at the grammar of the Greek, this is how it reads. I know the King James translation is a little, maybe a little confusing, but we all have these manifestations. God doesn't give somebody one or two of these and somebody else a couple of the others. God's not a respecter of persons. So we have all nine manifestations. Let's take a look at them again. The word of wisdom given by the Spirit, word of wisdom to another to benefit, word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another for benefits of gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers or many kinds of tongues, that's speaking in tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. So tonight we operated the interpretation of tongues, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which was really wonderful. Verse 11 says, but all these nine manifestations worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit. It's one Spirit. You don't have nine little spirits. You have one Spirit, and these are nine evidences, resources of that Spirit. And they're dividing to every man, every person that has it, severally as he the man wills. Now, some of your Bibles are going to have a capital H-E and will say, well, that's when God wills. But it doesn't fit the grammar of the Greek or the sense of how God works with people. So it's as we will. If we will to speak in tongues, then we're going to have that opportunity to do that. If we will to operate word of knowledge, word of wisdom, that's available for us. If we don't will to use them, guess what happens?
We don't use them.
See, and so really, since we have these things, we want to use them. We want to use these manifestations. And this is the exercise. This is the exercise we want to do spiritually. So that we benefit from that. You know, if you don't use something, then you forget how it is or what it's there for you. But if you're using it, then you're going to get the benefits from it. Now, if you would categorize these manifestations, you could put them in a group. Like, for instance, the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. Okay, this is the information, I would say the information manifestations whereby God gives you information. He gives you knowledge that you might need. Then he gives you the wisdom and how to use it. And then discerning of spirits is he can tell you if somebody's got a devil spirit in them or maybe that person's born again or not. So that's the benefit of that. So when would you use word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning spirit? You can use that all the time. You can wake up in the morning and ask God, what do you want me to do today? And he can inspire you. He can tell you. He can talk to you in many different ways and maybe have you do something that will benefit you and maybe even somebody else. Now, when we do Agape Outreach, on Saturday mornings where we're at the transportation center and we're meeting new people coming by and offering them water and prayer, this is a great time for us to exercise the Spirit, these manifestations. And I always ask God, what should I say? What's going on here? Is there a spirit involved or what? And so it really, one of the benefits of this Saturday morning Agape Outreach is I'm exercising the Spirit. I'm using it more. I'm getting more familiar with the voice of God as he communicates and talks. And it's exciting. It's kind of fun doing that and using those manifestations. I pray about our schedule, planning for fellowship. You know, I ask God, what do we want to teach here? Ask God what to teach today. So why not him telling me what to teach, you know? And God works that way. It's really wonderful. Well, faith, miracles, and gifts of healing is another group. You could maybe put in a group of power manifestations, some people call them. And, boy, we can minister healing. And we do that on Agape Now. Somebody has a situation and ask us to pray for something, we can minister gifts of healing to them. And if there's devil spirits involved and we kick them out, and we've done that, that's a miracle. In the Bible, a miracle is kicking out devil spirits. It's in that category. And then we have the faith or the believing to do these things. You know, you wonder, how can I, you know, believe to do that? Well, you've got the manifestation of believing, faith. And that allows you to do anything that God would ask you to do. So it's really wonderful that you would exercise these manifestations. And then the other three are prophecy, interpretation of tongues, and speaking in tongues. And we operate those, prophecy and interpretation of tongues, in our fellowships, right? And it's really wonderful to be able to have that opportunity to give a message from time to time and to build up the believers through that message. And the more you do it, guess what?
The stronger you get.
The stronger you get, the better you get. Speaking in tongues is really a wonderful manifestation because it talks about, and go to 1 Corinthians. We're already there in 1 Corinthians. Go to chapter 14. Speaking in tongues is really unique because that manifestation really builds you up spiritually. And that's why when we speak in tongues, it's a real benefit to our exercising the Spirit in us. And Paul was a pretty smart guy, wasn't he, Apostle Paul?
Mm-hmm.
And what did he say in the Scriptures?
I speak in tongues
more than you all. So it must be a really wonderful thing to do to build yourself up spiritually. But 14:2. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." So when you speak in tongues, you speak who? To who? God. You're talking to God. And if you got your ears open, he may be talking back to you as well. And this is how we can pray to him. We can have intercession. There's a lot of things that happen when we speak in tongues. Let's drop down to verse 4. "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue," what? "Edifies himself." He builds himself up. So that is a great exercise. You know, when you go to the weight training room, Jeannie and I go to the Y a couple times a week, and we've got, I don't know how many stations you have, 6 or 7. I've got 8 different stations, and I exercise my legs and my arms and, you know, my whole body at these different stations so that everything in my body gets a workout. And so when you speak in tongues, you're building yourself up spiritually. And it's a wonderful way to do that. It keeps you sharp spiritually. It really does. So you edify yourself. Next verse here, verse 5, "I would that ye all spake with tongues." But then it goes on to say, "Rather prophesy, for greater is he that prophesies than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive" what? "Edifying," that they are built up. See, if I speak in tongues now, I can speak 1,000 words in tongues, you probably wouldn't understand it, right? But if I interpret it or have the word of prophecy, you would understand that, and those words would build you up. And that's what it's saying there. It's not saying that speaking in tongues is no good. It's just giving the contrast of the two. Really neat. Verse 14. Chapter 14 here. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. So you don't, you know, you hear yourself speak in tongues, you don't understand that language, but you're talking to God. You're speaking to Him. And there's other wonderful scriptures that talk about the benefit of speaking in tongues. But it's a wonderful way to exercise the Spirit of God that's in you. And again, using all those manifestations, the more you do, the better you're going to be built up spiritually as far as in the application of the working of this wonderful power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, there's another aspect I want to share with you that I feel is a part of exercising yourself spiritually. And let's go to Romans 12, if you would. Romans 12. And what this Romans 12 gets into is services to the body. In other words, how do you function in the body of Christ? And we all have been called to function in the body of Christ. And if that's the case, then we need to exercise that calling so that we benefit the body of Christ. Okay, so chapter 12 of Romans, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God doesn't want a dead sacrifice. Jesus Christ died that one time, it's over with. Now he wants living sacrifices. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We renew our mind to who we are in Christ. By the renewing of our mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, God works with us. He talks with us. He has us doing certain things in the body of Christ. We all have something that we add to the body of Christ. And so we renew our mind to who we are in Christ and what God has called us to do in the body of Christ. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given to me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Okay, this office is function. We're members of one body. We all don't do the same thing. We're all not secretaries, you know. We're all not the boss. You know, all these different things with that need are needful in the body of Christ, there are different things that we would do. So we all don't have the same office or function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. God has gifts of service to those in the body of Christ. Okay? Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teaches on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. See, these are different functions in the body of Christ that we all have in some sense or another. Some people are really good at building others up. They're just great exhorters. There's other folks that just can really show mercy and help people that are down and out. And they just have that ability to comfort them. There's one, those that really are great teachers, right? And so they need to be teaching if they have that ministry of a teacher or that office of a teacher. So there's a bunch of them, and he lists out some things, but there's other aspects within the body of Christ that is needful. So I wanted to share that with you because that's another aspect of where we want to exercise our spiritual life, is in what God's called us to do in the body of Christ. Do it, you know. What does God want me to do in the body of Christ? Find out and then do it. Real important here. Let's go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, this great dynamic epistle here that opens up the mystery and the greatness of who we are in Christ. We're seated in the heavenlies. It's the pinnacle of the revelation that God has given us on the greatness of where we are spiritually. And so in chapter 4 is now the practical application of the greatness of what he teaches in the first three chapters. So here in chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now the word vocation there in the Greek, it's the same Greek word or similar word as the word called. Some translations may have worthy of your calling wherewith you're called. So there is a calling. God calls us again to do different things in the body of Christ. And we're being beseeched to do that, to walk worthy of what God's called us to do. And how do we do it? Verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. We put up with each other in love, right? Yeah. We don't get mad at each other and pout and not speak to somebody for months and months. We take care of business, get forgiveness, whatever we need to do, so that we can work together. We can work within the body of Christ, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. This is verse 3, in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and where? In you all. Okay. So, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So God's grace lives in us all. And again, we all have wonderful things that we can do in the body of Christ. Well, let's go to back to Romans 14. We'll close here. There's a lot we could do with this subject of exercising ourselves spiritually and, you know, involving what God has given us in the Spirit of God and the calling of our work within the body of Christ, what he's called us to do. So Romans 14, verse 10 says, but... 14:10, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou let or set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, we're not going to judge our brother. Everybody's going to be judged. And this really is for the believers, this judgment seat is the Bema. And for the most part, it's talking about we're going to get wonderful rewards for our faithful service. Verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. I mean, the bottom line in the end, this is what's going to happen. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We will have an opportunity to do this at some point after we're gathered together to share about giving account of our lives. And that's why we want to exercise our calling and exercise this gift of Holy Spirit that we have in us. Verse 17, we'll jump down to verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify one another. So, you know, the bottom line is we exercise our calling in the body of Christ, it'll be building up the body in some form or fashion. And so my encouragement to you is to exercise yourself spiritually. You know, we go a couple times a week to the gym to do our physical exercise. Well, we should give much more time to our spiritual exercising, right? Mm-hmm. Where we speak in tongues much, we operate the manifestations much. We know what God has called us to do, so we act on that. We function in the body of Christ. We exercise ourselves doing that. Sounds good?
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful.